If you've been watching the news today, you know that some things happened last night and yesterday. Our special forces got together and was able to take out the organizer and the head of ISIS, which if you've watched over the years, he's been the one responsible to march several Americans and other people, and always puts them in front of the water in orange jumpsuits and then cuts their heads off. He's done several cruel things. Took one from Jordan, got a pilot, and put him in a cage and just lit him on fire and burn him. All kinds of cruel things. And I was glad to see them get him. And some, I heard some criticizing President Trump for talking about him crying and whimpering like a dog when they cornered him and he blew himself up. But I don't have any problem with that. Their ideology, they go out and they try to promote this thing, and they try to make a martyr out of people like him. Just shortly, not long ago, our special forces had taken the son of bin Laden that wanted to take over Al-Qaeda. And so they've taken out several different ones, more than what we know. And they've taken the land and all that. And some people said, well, I don't think that it's ever right to kill. But the Bible says that there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. There's a time to kill. Tonight, I want you to listen just a few moments. And especially I want you young guys, you teenager boys, I want you to listen to me a minute. I want you to stay with me a minute. I want all of you to follow me just a moment and follow me in the Bible. I want to share with you a thought. I want you to learn to be a man. We're living in a time when many people who are men are making me sick. Some people say, well, it's okay for a man to look like a woman, act like a woman, want to be a woman. Chris was telling me yesterday that even off a lot of products for women, that they're taking feminine off of it and trying to, because they don't want to offend some man. If they're a man, they won't need those things. Women ought to be women. Men ought to be men. It shouldn't be a shame for you to be a woman. You should be proud to be a woman. You ought to be wanting to be treated like a lady. And men ought to be wanting to be men. Now, guys, I'm telling you, God does not want a bunch of wimpy men. He tells us to quit ourselves like men. He tells us that we are to be strong. He tells us that we are worse than an infidel that will not take and support our family and provide for a family. The Bible says that abusers of mankind, that's sodomites, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible says infeminate, that's homosexuals. Men acting like women should not enter into the kingdom of God. God has never taught, nor does he confuse, who and what you are.
Amen.
The moment you was born, the doctor and everybody else around you knew what you were. And what you need to understand is this. No woman wants some man acting like a woman. And women, men aren't looking for women that's looking like acting like men. I don't want to put my arm around some woman and have her muscles ripple more than my muscles ripple. I'm sorry, not that I better watch how I say all this. She'll be knocking me around at home again. She said if she ever got rid of me, she's going to get some little wiry guy that she can knock around. So I changed my message to preach this tonight. But anyway, all jokes aside, all seriously, women wants a man. And some men anymore in this day and time thinks that it's manly to let a woman to take and provide for them the whole time. It ought to be so. When someone comes into your home, if they invade your home, it shouldn't be any question in your household who's going to confront that person coming in through that door. Look with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 44 and 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'll go to 1 Samuel in a moment. But I started to say this. I'm proud of our military, but I really admire our special forces. Man, what they can do and how they can go in and take out these targets. And someone goes in not knowing where they're going to die, whether it's going to be an ambush. It takes some brave men. I believe the Bible wants us to be brave. Doesn't mean that I've seen some men that thinks to be a man, he's got to be King Kong and beat up on a woman. It doesn't take a man to beat up on a woman. Amen. I'll never forget one time I was driving down East Mount Vernon Street and some guy was punching a woman out in a car. So I turned around and I opened his door. I said, "Get out here and punch me." I punched back. It's easy to sit and punch a woman. I told her, I said, "If you want to go to police station, we'll go to police station." She didn't want to go. I said, "Well, if you're not going to go, then don't be out here in the middle of the street punching up on each other." But my point is this, fellas. God doesn't expect you to be that type of man. He don't expect you to just beat on your children, beat on your wife. The Bible says when he says, "Acquit yourself like men, be strong," he also says, "Do it with all charity, love." A strong man knows how to love. He knows when to be soft. He knows when to have compassion. And tonight I want to preach a message about a man's man. Look, if you would, in Psalms 44. David says this. Or it's 144, I think I want to go. Let's go 144. I got crossed on that. I'm sorry. I knew that didn't look right when I started to read it. David wrote, said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to what?" Who's he giving credit for teaching him to war? God. "And my fingers to what? Fight." There's a time to fight, a time not to fight. Now look, if you would, in 1 Samuel. We're going to stay there for a while. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel, chapter number 18. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. "And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, let me say, David was a man after God's own heart. A lot of times we think of David as being a little boy with a slingshot fighting a giant. David was probably one of the greatest warriors that ever lived. David knew how to love. He knew how to love his children. He knew how to be soft, and he knew how to be strong. He knew how to fight when the time come to fight. He knew how to be brave when the time came to be brave. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Did you know that the Bible says that the Lord is a God, or Lord, God is a Lord of war? God promoted war all through the scriptures. There was a time when we had to fight. David was a man. All you young boys, y'all don't want to be a man. Don't get caught up in this little sissified world that wants to make wimps out of you. No woman wants a wimp. No children wants to have a wimp for a dad. Doesn't mean that you have to go kick sand in people's face, because I want to share some thoughts with you later on, and I want you to understand, to be a man, you have to know when to fight, how to fight, when not to fight. But I want you to understand that God wants men. Jesus said there was no greater than John the Baptist ever born of a woman. They were talking about him. He said, have you seen him? What kind of apparel did he have? He didn't have a king's apparel on. He didn't come all dressed up in fancy ribbons. John the Baptist come out of the wilderness eating honey, wearing camel's hair. You know why? He was a man. He wasn't afraid of the task that was ahead of him. So here we have David. Now let me show you a couple things real quickly that I want you to understand. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And now remember what we just got through reading in verse 7. Look at it again. And notice that the women said Saul's killed his thousands and David his 10,000, which made Saul really jealous. Look, if you would, on over in chapter 23 of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah and to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. And then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into the hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. And so David then escaped in the wilderness. Now it wasn't that David could not fight Saul, but he did not fight Saul. And so he was revered of the people. He was admired of the people. Now listen to me very carefully. You young boys, you want to have the admiration of someone? Then let them see that you're a man, a young man. Grow up to be a man. Take responsibilities. Grow up to work. Grow up to provide for a family. Grow up to take care of that family. Be strong enough to raise children in the right way. Be strong enough to love children, to protect children. Somebody said, well, you're awful protective. You have to be protective in this day and time. You turn your children loose, and they'll bite you. David was admired of the people. He was honest. He was fair. He worked hard. He accomplished a lot of things. And he had people's admiration. I tell these young people this. When you go into a job, work as if the boss is sitting looking at you all the time. Work just the same way when he's not around as you do when he's around. If you work hard, you're honest, you come in, you get a hard day's work, you don't sit and gripe about everything, you don't sit and complain, you don't bite somebody's back when they're turned, you do it and you be fair and you support, then you'll go places. People will notice your work ethics and you'll be promoted because you'll find favor in the people in which you work with. You go in there and jump on suit with a lot of other people. And every time the boss is not around, you want to play games. Every time he turns his back, you're saying something bad about him. You're undercutting him. You'll go nowhere. You'll reap what you sow. I worked for a lot of different men, and I tell you what I did. I made a practice of supporting the people that I was under. None of the people that I worked with ever heard me say a bad word about the mayor that I was working for. Never. I made it practice. Even if I disagree, when I disagree with the mayor, I went up to City Hall and I asked to see him. I walked in, I closed the door, and I expressed my disagreement with him face to face. But I didn't share it with my whole squad that worked with me. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. You want to have the admiration of the people like David did? Then you've got to be the type of person that's got some character to you. David could have sat there and fought Saul, but he chose not to when he found out Saul was going to come, and he didn't want the people hurt, and so he left and left the place. Not only that, but also David was feared by his enemies. Look, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter 17. Sometimes when I see David, people portray him as, and you keep a thought of him being just a little weak boy. Of course, he wasn't weak when he was just a little boy. He killed a lion and bear. That's pretty impressive to me. If I want to put something, you know, I like to fill out a job description. They say, tell me about your past. I grabbed a lion by his beard and killed him, and I grabbed a bear and killed him. That'd probably get you through the front door. But look here. David was pretty feared. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Notice in verse number 7. Let's go down to 10. It says, talking about David, and he is also a valiant man whose heart is as a heart of a what? Shall utterly melt, for all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. In other words, he said, when David started to come against somebody, their heart melted. You know why? Because his enemies feared him. You know what? You ought to be ready to stand for something. Not back down. Not whimper. Not only that, but David also, he had a right fellowship with God. It was the Lord that gave him the power to be able to fight. Now, I'm not promoting, don't get me wrong. I don't want you going out here picking a fight with somebody. That's not what I'm promoting. Because the next 3 points, I want you to get this, and I want you to write down. This is going to be the gist of the message. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, going back, notice if you would, verse number 26. The Bible says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? Let's get on down to verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Because his older brother was criticizing him because he was asking these questions. Let me tell you something about David. David knew who to fight. Now listen to me a minute. David knew who to fight. You know what David did whenever he had the opportunity of killing Saul? He said, I'll not kill God's anointed. Listen to me. David didn't fight the Lord's man. Are you hearing me? I am not your enemy. There's been times over the years, different people have come to this congregation, I have become an enemy. I am not your enemy. A man knows who to fight. I mean, it's not God's man that he's put over the pulpit. And can I say this? David also would not fight God's people. Whenever he went to Philistines one time and he went there and hid out, they were going to go attack Israel. And the king come and said, I know you won't. Go fight your own people. You know why? He would not fight the people of God. And let me tell you something. I wish the church would learn. Each other is not your enemy. We are not to fight the people of God. Other churches are not our enemy. Other Christians are not our enemy. You say, well, I disagree. Now, there are some people that out there that claims to be saved that I question whether they're saved or not. I sincerely question. And I don't have any confidence. When I don't have any confidence, I'm not going to inflate. And I'm not going to have much fellowship with somebody I don't have any confidence in. But I want us to learn the lesson that David learned. Learn who to fight. He didn't fight God's man, nor did he fight God's people. And you as a Christian should never fight God's people. You say, well, Brother Billy, I think you fell in this area. Then pray for me. Pray for me. But I'm going to tell you what. Don't sit and run me down in front of your children and then ask me to try to win your children, Lord. It's not an easy task to do. And by the way, don't run their Sunday school teachers down and everybody else down either and then try to get them to learn something about the Lord. If they hear you go home every time and just crucify someone that goes to church, how much confidence are they going to have? Number one, you shouldn't be talking about it. Number two, you shouldn't be talking about it in front of children. But number three, we are not to battle the Lord's people. We're to love the Lord's people. You say, but you don't know what the... Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. David knew who to fight. But most importantly, he knew not who not to fight. And by the way, husbands, your wife is not your enemy. Can I say this? You need to understand that when you are angry... And we all have problems with this. When we are angry, the people we take it out on first is who? The people that is closest to us. And we need to learn like David. Was David a warrior? Probably never a greater warrior there was. But you know what? David knew how to fight. And can I say something? David had some mighty men. Man, them mighty men, if you go read about them, I thought about reading them. There's a long list of them. When you read about David's mighty men, man, them guys wasn't in pushover. They go in and whip 200, 300 people. One of them fought till his hand couldn't hardly hold the sword. He killed so many people. Another one went over and killed 600 people. And they were his mighty men. David one time said, I'd sure like to have a drink out of the well of Bethlehem. His mighty men went over, three of them went over there and got him a drink and went right through Philistine army. They were nobody to mess with. But what you need to understand is David never fought against God's people. Now, our fight is not with God's people. Now hear me. Our fight is with the devil. The Bible tells us all the time that he is the one that roams about that is our adversary. The Bible says resist the devil. The Bible says if you want to fight somebody, fight with him. So my point is, not only did David know who not to fight with, he knew who to fight with. And he went, and he knew who to fight. And boy, whenever he went down, even as a young boy, 17-year-old, he knew who to fight. And he went there to take his brother some food from his dad, and he saw what was going on. Israel up on one hillside, Philistines up on the other, and they were both didn't want to give up the high ground, and they both were afraid, and had one big old giant of a guy, he come down there, just want to go one-on-one. The devil always likes to have odds against you. That's why I always thought about all these motorcycle gangs and some of these other gangs and so forth. It's awful easy to set and beat somebody up when there's 14 people on one. You're a big man when you do that. And they'll talk and walk up behind somebody and shoot them or cut them and do things like that. It's easy to do when you've got them outnumbered. But David here, he knew who to fight. He knew who the enemy was. Can I say something? The church needs to learn who the enemy is. We need to quit fighting each other and start fighting the enemy. And therefore, we need to understand as David did and look at a couple things in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look, if you would, in verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about giant, "thy servant will go and what? Fight with this Philistine." Let me tell you this. When David had a fight to fight, he fought with courage. You hear me? You don't have to be afraid of nobody. But you need to be wise. The Bible says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But listen, don't go through life scared. Learn to have some courage. When you have to face something, face it with courage. Look it in the eyes. Look it face to face and deal with it. I remember whenever we lived in Chicago. Now, my dad wasn't right with the Lord at that time. But I remember there was one guy me and his brother get in a fight. I'd whip him, and then his big brother would whip me. I'd come in the house crying. Dad finally told me, he said, "You come in the house crying again, I'm going to whip you." So I figured out a way not to come in the house crying no more. Not that that was right, good, or whatever, but I tell you what, I didn't have to fight him but one time. And when I fought him, then he left me alone. Otherwise, he would continue to fight me all the time. And he would have beat me up and it would have went on like cycles. But I learned a long time ago that if I have to fight, I will. I prefer not to. I'll do my best to be at peace with all people I can. But if I get pushed in the corner and I have to come out, then I have to do it, but I got to do it with courage. You know, I was thinking about those men that went in there. Man, them guys had some courage. Them guys were men. Not only that, I was thinking of David. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. "And David spake to the men that stood by him and said, What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine?" I've read that already. And down in verse 29, he said, "Is there not a cause?" In other words, he also not only fought with courage, he had convictions about what he's fighting about. I appreciate you guys that are veterans. I had a friend that was in Special Forces. He worked for me. He was in Special Forces. He'd been over to Iraq and Afghanistan. He'd been there about 12, 14 times. He gave me a cap one time. He said, "I want you to wear it some when I'm gone to remember me and pray for me occasionally." And so occasionally I'd wear his hat. It listed his company, his special forces. And I'll never forget one time I was going shopping. I was wearing it in Pigeon Forge, and I went into the Under Armour store. And when I went in there, a woman said, "Well, here, you can have 10% off because I saw your hat." And she said, "I want to tell you, I appreciate your service." I said, "Ma'am, I'd like to take that, but that hat is a friend of mine." And I said, "He's in special forces, and he asked me to wear it and every now and then pray for him as he's over there in another land." And he'd bring me several different hats from Afghanistan, Iraq, and different things. He'd bring me different hats when he'd come in. And I told her, I said, "I don't deserve it, but," I said, "he deserves it." I said, "And if you look at him, if he walked in this house right now, you'd look at him, you wouldn't think anything about him. But I'll tell you this, I sure wouldn't want to tangle with him." My point is this, you men that's been over there fighting, and you guys have been in war, my hat goes off to you. It takes courage to be able to do those things. And it takes conviction. You have to know what you're fighting for and be willing to fight for it. And when you know and you have conviction about what you're fighting for. Now, if your heart's not in it, sometimes I've gotten a fight before and my heart's not been in it. You might well forget it. Sometimes I went out and I used to play sports. And I would look at myself playing sports as a competitor. I'd look at the other team as my enemy, not to be mean. Afterwards, I'd have sportsmanship. I'd shake hands, win, lose, or draw. I'd tell them good games. I'd do all those things. But I'd play my very best to beat them. And I would size them up. But when my heart wasn't in playing, I might well stay home. I used to have one boy that played for me. Some of these boys probably know who he is. I know Chris knows who he is. And man, he could play like the Dickens. Good ball player. One time he scored 71 points. Then another time he come out, him and his girlfriend be fighting, and he scored 2. I couldn't count on him for nothing. Every time I had a big game that I needed to pin upon him, him and his girlfriend be in a fight, and he'd be looking over there where she's sitting the whole time. He'd be running up and down the floor. I might well just hang it up and walk off when that happened. His heart wasn't in it. Men, young men, you need to have your heart in what you do. Have some conviction in why you got to fight the battle. Not only that, but he also fought with confidence. Look, if you would, in verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with spear, with a shield, but I come thee in the name of the Lord hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." I'm going to tell you something about David. He had some confidence in himself. Somebody said, "I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that." You can't do anything until you try. You got to put yourself out. I found out I could do a whole lot of things I didn't know I could do. But you got to put an effort into it. You got to try it. There's a whole lot of things I've done. A lot of things I've done I didn't like doing. There's jobs I had. Somebody said, "Well, I don't like it, so I'm not going to work." Why do you think they call it work? But the point is this. There's a time when I got laid off that I went out there. I found every job that I could find to support our family. And there's a whole lot of jobs I didn't like doing. There's a whole lot of days that it's hot, messy, dirty, nasty, and I took on jobs that I hated. I hated to have to do, but it was a job, and I did it because of the responsibility ahead of me. My point is this. There was times when somebody said, "Well, will you do this?" And I said, "Well, I've never done it, but I'll try." You got to have some confidence in yourself. You get confidence by doing, not by sitting there watching everybody else do it. You get in there by getting your hands dirty, trying it, learning something. Pick it up. Let me tell you something, young man, something. You can't call an electrician and plumber, and you can't call somebody to fix your yard. You can't call somebody to fix every little patch up on your house. You got to learn to do some things yourself. Learn to do some skills. And you learn it by doing it, not by sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it for you. But you got to have some confidence. David fought his battles with confidence. And last, when David take on a battle, he'd fight it till it was ended. Finish your course. Do what you set to do. So David knew who not to fight. David knew who to fight. And last but not least, David knew when to fight. There's a time to fight and there's a time to be at peace. You got to be wise. You don't just fight for the sake of fighting. That's called a bully. Somebody said, well, I fight because of, and I always hated bullies. Used to have this one bully in freshman. I'll tell you this, even though I shouldn't. I don't know whether mom knew or not. Oh, she got that look. I'm going to get spanked afterwards. I think Darlene signed for me and let me go back to school when I got expelled. But we had this one guy, he was a bully. I don't know whether I should tell this from pulpit or not, but I will. And he picked on everybody. Big old guy. Picked on everybody. And everybody he could whip, he'd beat up on. And he kept everybody in constant fear. And finally, I got so tired of it, I picked up some stuff from science lab and called him, bent over in his locker, and just poured it down the sleeve of his pants. Some type of acid. I didn't realize what it would do. And I just thought it'd teach him a little lesson. I didn't realize how deep it would go. End up, by the time he finished up his second class, he had no clothes on the back. It eat through everything, skin and everything. And of course, they called me up there because he knew I'd done it. And I got whipping. Going to call mom and dad. I said, we don't have a phone. And they kicked me out of school. I got Darlene to sign me, get me back in. I had to buy him a new pair of pants. But I told the principal, I said, he's bullied everybody around here all year long. And I can't stand somebody that's a bully. And I said, he won't pick on somebody that will fight back. He only picks on people that won't fight. And somebody said, well, you shouldn't have done it. And I said, absolutely right, I should not have done it. But I'll tell you what, he had a different attitude the rest of the year. Sometimes you got to know when to fight. I'm not saying that that's good, bad, or ugly. Probably shouldn't put this message out on the air, probably. I don't know if the statute of limitations is out on that yet. But all jokes aside, listen to me. You got to know when to fight. And there is a time sometimes when you got to fight. You got to fight for the things that you want to stand up for. And when that time comes, you can't be a pushover. You got to be like David. And even though David had a heart of love and compassion, David loved his children so fervently. Even when his own son was trying to kill him, it broke his heart when he got killed. And he wept and wept and wept till he couldn't cry no more. But David was a man's man. And young boys and young men, hear me. We need women and men both to take the role. But society is suffering from lack of good husbands and daddies. And learn to know what to fight for. Amen. Let's stand tonight.